It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 359, entitled Lover. It was recorded on Monday, the 15th of December, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I am joined by three guests. They sort of come and go as the tech fails sporadically, but I am joined today by Michelle Frechette, by Courtney Robertson, and by Jesse Friedman. We are a WordPress podcast, so we get into lots of WordPressy things. In this case, right off the bat, really, we talk about the fact that WordPress 7.0 is very much in the planning. What has happened since WordPress 6.9 dropped? We also talk about some events that have happened and also will be happening, and in this case, not necessarily to do with WordPress. So there are more open web events, but also some events around CMSs, which are happening in the near future as well. We talk about some of the Black Friday things that people bought. We also talk about the Global Partnership Program and whether or not that is confusing. There are some team reps that are needed into the year 2026. There's loads of developer things and a few new plugins, two of which have come from Courtney herself. All of that is coming up next on This Week in WordPress. And just to say, we are going to be away for a couple of weeks for the holiday period, so we'll be back in early January, so 2 weeks from today. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, welcome. Wherever you may be in the world, very nice to have you. You can see we've got a panel. I'm surrounded by fabulous people. Much is my Mondays at 2 p.m. UK time. I love this. This is my highlight of my week. I hope my family are not listening to any of this, but I absolutely love doing this because I get to hang out with these wonderful people. And also in the comments, typically there's lots of people hanging out as well, so that's really nice. We're on episode number 359. I'm going to introduce the panel in just a minute, but I'm going to do all the laundry list of ordinary stuff that I normally do just to establish the ground rules. I suppose the first thing to say is if you are watching this on a variety of different platforms, let's say, for example, you're watching it on X, Twitter, or LinkedIn, or Facebook, or wherever you may be catching it, we don't get the comments. None of your comments come through to our platform. And honestly, there's no way I'm going to have like 8 screens open seeing what's going on. So the best thing that you can do if you want to comment is just stop watching it wherever you're watching it and go here. Michelle is sporting the link. It's WP. Thank you, Michelle. That's perfect. WPBuilds.com/live once more. WPBuilds.com/live. If you go there, then if you're on a desktop, there's a chat box on the right-hand side. That is a YouTube thing, so you have to be logged into Google. And I know that some people don't like using Google stuff, so we have an alternative. If you actually click into the video, then there's a little button top right says live chat. That's a platform thing, so you don't need to be logged in at all to anything. You just type your name in and put us a comment in there and we're off to the races. So feel free to do that. That honestly, that whole thing keeps the show ticking over. And I can see that a few people are doing that already. And I'm grateful for you for doing that. But we'll get to those comments in a moment. Let's go round the houses. Let's start off by going to Michelle. Michelle Frechette. That is not your name. I don't know what happened. I've never got your name wrong. It's Michelle Frechette. How are you doing, Michelle?
I'm good. I'm a little cold, but I'm good.
Yeah. Michelle lives in a part of the world where it's actually really cold. I live in a part of the world where it's actually really cold normally, but at the moment it's beautiful. It's like 14 degrees centigrade or something. It's lovely. But Michelle Frechette is the Executive Director of Post Status. And in addition to the work there, she's also the podcast barista at WP Coffee Talk, co-founder of Underrepresented in Tech, creator of WP Speakers and WP Career Pages, and also a co-founder of Sponsor Me WP, Speed Network Online. She writes books, is an influencer and a frequent organizer and speaker at WordPress and tech events. She lives in Rochester, or just outside Rochester, New York, and she likes to take photos of nature. One you are up. Go on.
Yep. I was going to say, I'm going to be updating that bio soon to say that I, you know, speaker of the year.
Yeah, yeah, the winner of the prestigious. You must do that. Then, yeah, in 2026, we can mention
have
that.
A little bit of a different bio.
Yeah, that's nice. The one URL to capture it all, though, is meetmichelle.online. So you can find most of the bits and pieces there. So let's continue round. Let's go next to Courtney Rob. There's Courtney. Hello, Courtney. How are you doing?
I'm well this morning, Nathan. I'm drinking for the audio listeners before we do my actual intro. Not sponsored by the WP World. Hey, Marcus. I'm drinking coffee out of my capital P, dang it, mug.
Well, that's nice to see you. Unfortunately, I don't know if it's the video. I think I'm really struggling tonight.
Well, the video is reversed.
Video is flipped. So all the words were the other way around, which is fine. There is a setting inside. I think you can toggle something. You can figure it out.
Play. I'll go looking.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, here we go. Courtney Robertson, a developer advocate at GoDaddy and former computer science public school educator, contributes as well to FAIR, which is an acronym, F-A-I-R, and the WP Community Collective. You can Google both of those. After being a WordPress user since 2.2, Courtney has released two plugins. We're going to see those in the past 2 weeks, all the holiday hubbub, I suppose we should say. Well, we'll get to those plugins in a moment. That's exciting. Very cool. Very cool. Kind of making WordPress cool again is the mnemonic there. Oh, you flipped. You're the other way around now. That was clever.
Is it correct for you now?
Yeah. Pull the mug up and let's have a look again.
All right. It is a capital.
Yeah, we got it.
Dang it.
We
mug.
Got it.
Right, there you go. So, you know, if you too want to have a capital P, dang it, reminder. Marcus at the WP.world can help you with that.
He's here, actually. He's already written a comment, so I'll put his comment up in a minute. But we'll go around the houses and finish off our bios. So next one, last one today, Jesse Friedman. How are you doing, Jesse?
Doing great.
Very nice to have you with us. I always am in awe of Jesse's background, and he explained last time what the heck all that was. But there's pictures of like Jetpack Man and like a man with a squid, and they all look like they're exquisitely drawn by hand. It's beautiful. Loving that.
It's actually a local artist here in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Did all these.
Yeah, actual art. I suppose we're kind of worried about people like that doing actual art and whether or not they can compete with their AI overlords in the near future. It'd be an interesting experience. Says on his picture, he is the head of WP Cloud at Automattic. And that's what it says in the bio as well. However, I'm going to read it out because it is what you wrote. This is the bio that I got from Jesse. It says, has it had?
Oh, no, wait. What did I write?
I got truncated.
No, it's rather brief.
Honestly,
yeah,
you probably wrote something else and it just got truncated because it says this. It's lovely. It says, head of WP Cloud and lover. That's all
not untrue. So I'm pretty sure it goes on to say lover of WordPress and something else. I don't know.
Technology. Open source are all the things. No.
But when I saw that, I was copying and pasting everything into the bios the other day, and I saw that and thought, no, that's going in. That's quality. I love it.
No, that's, we should leave it right there.
It's so good. Okay, so let's go to the comments. That's what keeps this whole thing going. We've obviously got comments from people in the panel. It probably won't show those ones because they're saying hi and things like that, but we are getting a hello from Michelle. Help me out, because she corrected me, Anna, about your name. It's Anne if it's Anne, and it's Anna if it's Anna Bovlet. Is that right?
Mika. Anna Mika.
Oh, you see, even with instructions.
Or Anne. I asked her last week so that I understood better. So
well, I'm going to go with Anne. Hello, she says. Let's stick it at that. Jonathan Overall's joining us. WP Plugins A to Z. Z, if you're an American. Morning from the damp, wet coast of Vancouver Island. Yeah, I get this thing. Oh, every week.
Do you remember?
No, I have the memory of a goldfish, Michelle. It's ridiculous.
Gerald.
Gerald, yes, of course.
And we did breakfast with Gerald at LoopConf, Nathan.
I know, and every sinew of me feels terrible, but I have
every week. Remind me who's Gavank.
Do you have let's just segue for a bit, right? Do you have anything like I do? Like this, is there a black hole in any part of your life where for me, it's names. You could tell me your name 50 times over, and it's a total lottery whether it will land. Sometimes it'll be first time, mostly it's hardly ever. But like I will remember like everything about spaces I've walked through. So I could tell you about the WordCamp EU 2019 building. I could tell you everything about where the doors were, how long the corridors were, all of that. But if you ask me the person that I met 6 seconds ago, I'll be like, nope, I don't remember their name at all. It's ridiculous.
Seriously, Neil, I mean, it's you know.
It took him a moment to notice that, Jesse.
No, I definitely have that black hole. One thing that I've really, it's funny because if I don't do this and I don't look you in the eye and repeat your name back in my head when I first meet you,
yeah,
it's a bigger struggle to remember. But well, if I do that, sure. it tends to be okay. The problem that I have is that I can recognize everybody's face. So I always have this moment of, I know who you are. I probably know who you work for.
Yep.
And I think I'm pretty recognizable as well. Just me, my facial features, whatever. So like I tend to garnish, I don't know, a lot of people like remembering who I am, and it's not going both ways, and it's super tough when that happens.
Yeah.
And they always know when you look down at their name tag. It's like,
yeah.
You can't do that, sir.
You got to wait for their eyes to go off onto something else. Like, hey, look at that. Brain. Oh, okay.
What we need is I need the name tag here, just like right next to yours.
Floating beside your face all the time. I'm usually pretty good with names, but finding my keys is a different story.
Okay. So it's not just me. We all have a black hole somewhere. I am Jesse. I'm just going to say next time I meet you, I'm just going to remember you as the lover. That's all I will do. All what I need to know from now on.
I'm more than happy.
This is going to go horribly wrong. I'm sorry. I will stop doing that whole thing.
I verify that's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. So I apologize to anybody whose name I have forgotten, including Gerard. I'm sorry. Marcus Bennett, though, he's landed. He's got himself into my head somehow. Good morning, he says, everyone. I've got more WordPress Star Wars release code names this week. Oh, okay. So on last week's show, we got into jazz musicians and why WordPress was jazz musicians. And I flippantly said, I think it should be Star Wars characters. And then Marcus Bennett posted that the following day on, then we got into that.
It was during the show.
Yeah. And then it all got into this whole Twitter thing. So yeah, put them in if you want. I'm going for Boba Fett. That's what I think the next version, WordPress 7 should be Boba Fett. That's just what I think.
I think Marcus landed on the jazz performer that was added in the first re-release where the CGI characters and the blue lady with the microphone and I don't know if it was a lady.
Okay, so we could do 2026 and we could transition away from jazz musicians into Star Wars characters during 2026 with those.
Play jazz.
Yeah, the jazz musicians in Star Wars, and then we can leave that all behind. And get on
all with the all from the cantina, right? From the
exactly. That one. Okay.
I think you'll have to pry the jazz musician thing from Matt's cold dead hands.
You're right.
Not going to happen until
it's
then.
His thing. You're absolutely right. He loves it. It's fair enough. Good morning.
There is a name for that music. You know, it's a form of jazz. The Star Wars. I don't know if I want to say because it's kind of weird. You replace the A with an I. That's the name of the Star Wars music.
That means the same thing here as it does there. So yeah, well, let's just leave that in everybody's minds. They can figure that out for themselves.
Moving on.
You know, the lover. I'm not sure. Anyway.
This show's quickly getting out of hand. Everybody stop now. Anne says it's cold here. It's here's the sunny cold in Germany. Okay, that's a bit like kind of what we've got, although it's not that cold. Tammy says she's got fresh tea, fresh green tea, and yuzu. So she's settling in. Oh, nice. Reese is saying good afternoon. Anne's back. Three lovely people I met in one live show and would love to meet one day. I'm guessing that excludes me. You know, I'm just saying. I'm not lovely.
And we hung out.
Wait, one she would love to meet one day. I'm guessing that Anne has not met Jesse.
Okay, there you go. All right, I took it to heart and I didn't need to. Adam Warner saying hello. Nice to have you.
Good morning,
Adam. Gosh, there's so many comments. I'm very bad at names myself. I'm so sorry. That was, you know, it was all you that got that whole thing started. I apologize about it.
Nathan, I've got his back.
Yeah. Something about Nathan baiting. I don't know what I've done. What is being done to me?
Jesse was calling you a different name.
And you said you didn't know. You can remember names. I said, hey, Neil, listen.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I'm so sorry. Oh, I love that kind of thing as well. That's right on my street.
The best part is it was lost on you, which was the funniest part of all.
Yeah. Okay, something about AI glasses. Maybe we have to use AR glasses after all. Okay. And then I'd love to see Nathan try AR glasses. I don't think I'd
augmented reality.
Yeah.
No. Show it.
Yeah, how much money did Meta burn on that whole thing? I don't know. What is this one? Is this a real one? Face blindness. Prosophagnosia. So, prosophagnosia is common in autism, making it hard to recognize faces. Okay. Yeah. Making it hard to recognize faces, even loved ones.
Not
just your vision, but difficulty remembering and processing facial details. Oh, that's fascinating. There's a whole word for that. Wow. Give them all nicknames and get them all to agree to call them. Yeah, okay, so I could just call everybody like Roy or something. Everybody gets the one name and then I can't go wrong. Is that it? Have we got quite a few more comments? But I think I'll just leave those.
Yeah,
we got it. Okay, well, thank you. Keep those coming. Have a chat amongst yourselves. It's good fun. Let's get on with the WordPressy bits and pieces for today's show. Okay, first up, self-promotion. Here we go. WPBuilds.com. If you fancy, you know, checking out what we're doing, we've got all the episodes and everything there. Usually they're in this sort of like archive link. WP Builds podcast is the thing we do on a Thursday. It's an interview. I actually had Anne on in the, I'll show you that in a second. And then this podcast episode that we're recording now comes into this little archive here. And put your name into this email field here and we'll send you emails twice a week when that has happened. Believe it or not, the Black Friday deals are still going. It's certainly less than it was, but anything that's still on this page is still available. I think some of them stretch into January, so goodness knows if you've still got a few dollars burning a hole in your pocket. wpbuilds.com/black, and you know, they're there. There's no affiliate links or anything like that, so you know, anyway, there we go. The next thing then is, here's our archive, and this is the episode that I did this week with Anamika, and it was all about CloudFest, the hackathon that her and the team that she has been the sort of chief of, if you know what I mean, the leader of, she won two times in a row, the most recent one which I attended, and was creating a plugin which enabled you to turn infographics, so images, into descriptive text so that you could read out the data held in charts and things like that. It was really profound. And Anna talks to me about the hackathon and about the longevity of those projects, whether or not they sort of die in the water after the hackathon is over and what have you. And coincidentally, well, actually not coincidentally, it was very much done by intent. I released that episode to align with this, which is the CloudFest Hackathon is back 2026. March the 20th through to the 22nd. You have to apply, so you can now do that, basically, if you want to submit.
The letter T is on my face in this image.
Oh, what? Where? Where are you?
Right there.
Right there.
That's the GoDaddy.
Oh, I see.
Yes, that's
you. That's me.
We need the new, what's the stretchy?
Yeah, stretch text. Thing. Yeah, that's
that doesn't fix that.
That's so good.
I would highly
recommend the screen as a text.
Well, the problem is, if I reduce the screen size, I have this tool with which I highlight everything, and it binds to the dimensions of the screen, so it will mess up everything that we do. But needless to say, there she is. So good.
Yeah. And I hope that I get to see some of you guys there as well next year. I think that it would be. there's quite a few folks that are in the chat today, like Tammy and others that were also there with Animike and I. It was an amazing opportunity, and I'm looking forward to going again for this coming year. So the way that the hackathon generally works, so that folks don't get discouraged by this, is that companies like my own, I work at GoDaddy, will sponsor staff to attend. And for every staff member that gets to go on company money, it also sponsors folks to go that are not employed at an organization that is sponsoring them to attend. So it is an application-only event. And there's some amazing folks behind it. A lot of us know Elaine and Carol. So Elaine is going to be the one that kind of helps with a lot of the tech direction of what projects come in, and does so in conjunction with a few other folks that also help review what the different projects are that are pitched. This one is a three-day one, unlike the first ever CloudFest USA one we just had about a month ago. That was a one-day, and it was the first time we had ever had it. The one in Europe, this is now a refined event. Carol has shepherded this thing into something really amazing. People are dialed in at this. You know, people are really excited about the various projects. And last year while there, I saw the one table working on MCP, and I only vaguely understood what MCP meant. And now it's everywhere. Yeah. And you see folks like Milana and Felix and Yoast were all kind of over there working on, no, not Felix, another one of the Googlers.
Pascal Bertler it was.
Yeah. They were all working through on that particular project. And now we turn around and see in the news this week that MCP, which Anthropic started, has been giving to the Linux Foundation for stewardship and safeguarding of it being an open source protocol initiative. So CloudFest Hackathon, amazing time to see kind of what's coming together, what's new. It is not solely WordPress focused. A lot of things may be WordPress adjacent. I worked on a project that was related to SBOMs, which is, if you're in a GitHub repo and you go look at the settings in the dependency graph, it tells you everything that that project's dependent upon. It's really helpful to be able to identify that some little rogue obscure library that WordPress calls upon may need some help. So, yep. Alan, Lucas, and Simone are amazing mentors. And yeah, you're right.
I'd never been to an event like it. I had a kind of like a vague notion of what it would be like. And when I arrived and it all began on the first day, and the tables were all set out, so everybody kind of knew what was going to be on offer as something they would sit down for the next 2-3 days and work on. I kind of assumed that some of them would be really hot and others would be less popular, but by pure coincidence, but it can't be coincidence because it happens each year, a similar number sat down on each table. I think there was a little bit of like moving around just to make sure that every project had a similar sort of, number of people sitting at the table, so they had a similar amount of opportunity to succeed at it. But you have to apply. This is not a thing where you can just sort of show up like a WordCamp. You pay for your ticket and you just attend. You have to apply to this and be accepted. And if you're accepted, then that's one thing. You can be an attendee and sit on a particular table. And they are really looking for the smorgasbord, the whole gamut of different types of people out there. So it's not just for developers. When I heard the word hackathon, that was, again, what I thought it would be, just a room full of developers. It's not, because they want to have intuitions about the whole product life cycle. If something takes off, they want to give it legs and give it the opportunity to sort of grow. Have a listen to the podcast with Animike on WP Build. You can hear about how it works and the nuts and the bolts of it. But I don't know if Michelle or Jesse have got any commentary on this one.
I just want to say that I think...
We'll go Michelle first, and then we'll go Jesse. Sorry.
I just want to say I think that this event fits Courtney to a T.
Yeah.
Little dev, a little bit of other stuff.
Yeah.
I was the one that explained SBOMs last time, and that was a lot of fun because we had people doing all sorts of wild theatrical things on stage during the presentation at the end of it. Yeah. And there may have been whipped cream that would have been exploding.
I remember that. Yeah, that's good. Jesse, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I've been going to CloudFest for years. I'm just curious, how does everybody get there? Because it's a fun...
With great difficulty.
Anything about it, but you can get intentionally lost. You can see a lot of Europe by going to CloudFest. Because it's not like in a major city. It's kind of off in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Western.
Well, there's a big, not Disneyland there, called Europa Park. And so it is a destination. And now I believe that the park is now open year round, as opposed to in the past. The catch, there was an epic tale that involved Shanta Nathwani. If you know Shanta, Shanta's in Canada. Shanta joined up with myself and some of our coworkers. We all, being in North America, wanted to get there with the day to time zone adjust before we had to show up and use our brains. So we were coming in extra early, which means that the shuttles weren't running yet for the hackathon people even. And then in flight, the trains announced that they're striking. And so not all of the connections that we had counted on were going to, like, you could still do it, but instead of one or two transfers, there's now five or six. Yeah. And you're coming early. And it was a thing. Mike Demo is far more the expert on knowing.
Oh,
so if anyone has questions,
Mike is totally
reach out to Mike Demo about all of the options on how to get there. But also, if you're going in around the same time as other coworkers and stuff, try and get to the airport together and just join forces on getting a van or something to take you out. Yeah. Because if you're not accustomed to the German rails, I would just say that it's going to be easier if you're going to Frankfurt and taking a van.
Yeah. Tammy's in the comments. Tammy and I got the train. We got the Eurostar from London King's. North London, whatever, St. Pancras, I think. And it took us all the way to Strasbourg, which then we got an Uber from Strasbourg. And between the two of us, it was pretty good. It's a full thing. Like, you got to do the planning. You have to plan for the travel, because it's not get off a plane, hop in a quick Uber ride. It's like, I don't know, 80 miles or something. But well worth it, you know, really worth it. It's a unique experience. And the whole theme park is available, you know, it's there. And you can go on a selection of the rides and it's totally free. You don't have to worry about that. It's really great. So go and apply. Let's put that back on the screen, actually, the hackathon thing. I don't know the exact dates when all of this is going to shut off, but applications are open. So three types of application. You can become an applicant to just be there and be part of a team. You can obviously apply for submitting one of the projects. Last year there were 10. Maybe that's going to be the same number. And a partner, I guess, is, you know, sponsors who want to, you know, make sure that their messages get out in front of those audiences. It was really good fun. Okay, here we go. Attendees, you got until the 11th of January. So opens today, finishes in more or less 28 days, four weeks, something like that. Okay. Anything else about hackathon, or shall we move on? Oh, here we go. There's another one from Anne-Marie. If my application is accepted, project or a regular applicant, I can pick up two folks from Frankfurt Airport or even Dusseldorf. You heard it here first. Or even from Offenburg. I don't know where any of those places are, but they sound important. So
they're Germany.
There you go. The free ride. That's great. How cool is that? German railway, says Reese, is equally efficient and inefficient at the same time.
Everything kind of leave on time. There is mass transport shocks this American, first of all. So it exists.
The Germans are notorious for being extremely efficient. I'm kind of surprised that their rail network doesn't live up to that. I didn't get a train, so I don't know. But
they're so efficient that they run into issues. Like last year, they weren't going to make it on time, so they decided to stop the rail altogether to keep their numbers accurate.
Oh, okay. It got everybody really off. Efficient. Okay.
Not accurate, but you know, it's a lot like when you're in line at the fast food place where they tell you to pull up to so that they're, you know, you're not delaying the time. For delivering that order. It was the same thing. Everybody had to get off and take the next train.
Okay. That is kind of efficiency gone mad. I told a story. I think I told it into this show not that long ago, that in Japan, the National Rail Network, whatever that is, took out a full page ad in the biggest selling newspaper because one train departed and it was literally like 5 seconds late. And they took out this national apology, you know, headline grabbing page because they, and it really was something jaw droppingly funny, like 5 seconds. I mean, in the UK, if it's there within 10 minutes of when it's supposed to leave, you kind of, oh, thank the Lord, that's worked out well. But no, anyway, there you go. So, anyway,
spoiled.
Yeah. They really are.
Like in Boston, trains don't even, you're lucky if it shows up.
Yeah. Okay. So there we go. That's the hackathon. Let me put bits back on the screen. Here we go. Let's move on to the next piece. What is this one? Was this one of you?
This is a conference I actually just got back from.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So just for the viewers who know what's going on, Jesse dropped a few links, into the show notes and I put them on the screen, but didn't get a chance to read them just now. So tell us about this. What was it? What was it like?
It was actually a really interesting conference. So it was, a conglomeration of companies from all around the globe that came together to talk about open source. From an IT and services perspective. These were all people who were offering cloud services and the like, competing with Apple, Google, Microsoft, and they were all open source companies. So it was really awesome to see these companies come together. The conference itself left a few things to be desired, but for the networking opportunity and the vendors and everybody else who was there, it was amazing. It was interesting, though, because it was a higher level above what we're used to seeing with WordPress, right? Like it was abstracted one layer because it was all the underlying technological underpinnings of that make things work. So the companies behind those services that.
Was there a thread running through it? Like would a WordPresser, like let's say you've got a plugin company or something like that, would there be any point in attending an event like this? Or is it more for kind of like, you know, the work that you do with, the work you do sort of spans open source more generally, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm on this like path right now to really focus on how the work that I'm doing and in my personal life, how I can really help to protect the open web more. Things like joining the i2 Coalition has really kind of like opened my eyes around that as well. So, you know, from that perspective, I think it's incredibly valuable. So if you're a plugin developer or you run a company around WordPress, one of the things that you're going to learn heavily about is like how these companies are making money and introducing their services in an open source environment, how they're combating the myths and the issue.
Did Jesse just freeze for you as well as for me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Let's pray that he comes back. So apologies, dear listener. Jesse appears to be frozen.
We haven't said the actual title of the event, though. So let's make sure we get
okay,
that.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you, Michelle. Yeah. So it's called Open Source Experience. He's just dropped out the call, so hopefully he'll come back in a moment. And you can find the URL, it's opensource-experience.com. And an EN has got appended to the end of the URL, obviously for the English translation, because it's, I would imagine, the original site is in French. I'm curious about this kind of stuff, because I'm going to just race ahead and show something which I wasn't intending to show until right at the end, if there was time, because this thing came up on my radar. I don't know where from this week. It's called the CMS Conf. It's happening. It's like being advertised like a whole year in advance, which is kind of interesting. So not quite open source, all the open source things that Jesse was talking about, but this is a conference where it's CMS agnostic. It's taking place in Poland next year, and the URL is cmsconf.com. CONF.com, and they're billing it as where code meets creativity. And I'm kind of fascinated what the overlap with these things is. You know, why would a WordPresser attend an open source conference? Why would a WordPresser attend a CMS conference? And I can see so many reasons why, especially in a landscape where things like open source, you know, it feels like we're in a bit of a fight to keep ourselves relevant and what have you. Courtney, sorry, were you about to say something?
No, these are definitely the kind of conferences that are high on my radar because I look at open source not just in the context of WordPress itself, but other things that GoDaddy has going on. We have been a long time sponsors of OpenJS. PHP Foundation was added last year, W3C. So, you know, looking at how GoDaddy takes part in the rest of the open source story. But from a WordPress individual perspective, I would say, you know, I think that if you happen to live nearby and this isn't a massive travel budget for you, I think get to it and start just experiencing and learning from other open source communities as to how they do things. Learn the good and the bad from it. Learn what has worked, what hasn't worked in those spaces. And then within that, too, you know, I'm inspired sometimes by watching what Katie Keith is doing with Barn 2 entering into Shopify. But I think, what about the e-commerce offerings in other open source projects? what could we learn from some of them? And are those people also going to be at places like this? Because I feel like, you know, the more that we can learn from how others have approached things and the challenges and the wins that they have experienced, that could spark some ideas for us too.
Yeah, so this one is held in Poland next year. Like I said, it looks like the beginning of this event. I can't see any history to it. So 12th to the 14th of November, go and have a look at that. But the obviously the one that we were just talking about was Open Source Experience. And then obviously prior to that was CloudFest. We were on about the hackathon,
which
but CloudFest more generally is you know, anything that touches the cloud.
We're seeing a lot more for CloudFest that is broadly open source. And also a big push on having a WordPress and CMS focused day. When you get to CloudFest Europe, especially being that the event is located in Germany, a lot of the Typo3 community is there, which is, in my mind, kind of a niche thing. However, in a German's mind, well, most of the government runs on that open source CMS. And so it's interesting to meet folks from those spaces and rub shoulders.
Yeah. So just segueing slightly, this I'm kind of reading into the record something which most people don't wish to hear, but here we go. Jesse, if you can hear me, I can tell that you're trying to get back into the platform because I keep getting this noise in my ears, which is usually the confirmation that somebody has arrived in the room, but you never appear in the room. So I'm going to suggest a quick reboot of the machine. Try in the latest version of Chrome, the actual Chrome, if you've got it, and hopefully we'll get you back in soon. If not, we're just going to keep going anyway. So here we go. Anne's saying, ooh, CMS Conf. She wants to go there. So there we go. And a story about trains from Reese. Got a story from when he went to Amsterdam and to Berlin, where they kicked everybody off the train, but then it let everybody back on. It was something to do with reducing the weight. they needed it off for a little while, and then they got everybody back on. It's kind of weird. Right.
Jesse's in the comments saying he can't seem to get back in.
Okay, Jesse, clear the caches, do all the usual, and try a different browser. I'm on Brave, which is a Chromium derivative, and it's never failed for me. So hopefully I'd love to have you back. Obviously, that would be nice to round out the show with you in it. Yes, please, please, please. Okay, let's move on. So we've done that. No, we haven't. Here we go. Let's go to this one first. This is what got me.
That's the one I released first, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So Courtney's been busy. I don't know. Courtney is a plugin developer on .org, but here we are, two offerings coming out in close succession. The first one, a plugin called Post Formats for Block Themes. What's going on? What's this?
Yeah, so 2025 introduced the putting post formats back in. And the history, the story is that I actually liked the idea of post formats back in the day. And then I decided, well, because I like this edge case thing, I was at a contributor day or WordCamp New York City in 2014 when I met the training and marketing teams. They had two tables sitting beside each other, and I am a former high school business education and computer science teacher, meaning I could teach marketing. I know how to teach WordPress. So I didn't know which table to sit at. And I thought, I'll just join the training team and write lesson plans about post formats because nobody else is going to pick that one. In 2013, we had a great theme that really supported as the default theme, the post-format experience. And Matt still uses, I believe, a variation of that on his site. I see a lot of post-formats go by. So it's something that I also actually really liked. And I thought, you know, there are a lot of themes out there, the one that I'm using included, Ollie, that don't come with that baked in, even though 2025 does now. And for people to get all of that functionality set up, it's a bit of a tangled web. So the way that I have this plugin created, and please be gentle. This is my first plugin that I have ever put in the repo, and I am ironing out bugs. Pull requests are incredibly welcome. GitHub repo is open for you. I wanted to put post formats on my site, scratch an itch, as we say in open source. And so I thought, you know, what's the sequence or the process that I would go with? And so when you go to create a new post, you'll get a pop-up modal right away that says, which post format do you want to pick from, standard or the other nine?
Yeah.
So you pick the one and it will auto assign from there what the format is, give you a pattern that puts the block of that format first. It includes a chat block that if you copy paste from Slack or Discord or something, it will format it into a pretty way for you. And then it will lay it out, and you have a couple of toggle options. So the chat log is the one block that doesn't have a comparable format, right? Because a status or an aside is just a paragraph block. A link, you just throw the embed in there. But the chat block itself was the challenge for me to sort of wrap my head around. And then what I also wanted it to do was to apply some of the visual design pieces that we saw with the 2013 theme. Now, I probably should have a proper chat with Tammy when the holiday season really kicks in and we're both busy with our personal projects and not busy with work projects. Because Tammy may have had a hand in 2013, but I'm not positive. So I like having a template to style things visually the way that 2013 did. So if you select a format, it auto selects the template that matches the design. The template then lets you change some of the like background color or what have you using the site editor experience. And so I'm trying to get things ironed out right now. The area where I know I've got bugs, there are bugs, is when you're toggling between different formats. If you select the run that you want and you stick to it, it's great. But I'm off into like testing what happens if I accidentally pick one and switch it midway and go back to my standard. So folks like Reese, pull requests welcome. Really would appreciate it.
Reese, by the way, has put a comment in all caps. He's a fan. Post formats, he says. It's obviously something he's been missing.
Cosper are also my other cohorts in crime that love post formats. So
And Anna as well. Yeah. Woo, way to go.
So my goal here is to bring it to a block theme experience that if you're using a default theme that already supports it, amazing. If you are not, that it would auto detect that your theme needs to apply these settings, right? Nathan, down in the screenshots there, there's the modal that will let you select which one.
Screenshot
just below this one, below the big image, we'll show you what the chat log block does.
He's back.
Yay, Jesse's you're back, Jesse.
Yay. Yeah. Or is he?
Nathan, could you select the one that is slightly below this?
Yeah. Which one?
That one. This is how the chat log block will end up being styled. So you copy paste your stuff. And there you get a pretty little chat log on the screen. So
this is so nice. I'm so pleased for you.
It's getting there. There'll be bugs. I appreciate knowing what the bugs are and coming up with ideas on how to address them if you have them. And related to that, so Jesse was talking about the open web earlier. Also a passion of mine. Chatted at length with Dave Weiner during a hockey game about this at WordCamp Canada.
I saw pictures of that. Yeah, that looks good.
Yeah. Dave likes to just say the web, not the open web, because the web is designed to always be open in Dave's mind. And so related to that, the other reason for post formats and XFN, which is the other one that I introduced,
which I'm about to put on the screen. Yeah, there it is, this one.
So XFN, both of these things are things that I could see being related to the Fediverse and IndieWeb and all of the fun things. So XFN will identify for folks. You see on the screen, there's a quick little screenshot there of if the text is linking to Matt's site. Down below, I said, I have met Matt. Matt is an acquaintance of mine. We have physically met in person, and you could go on for more for there. The fun story of XFN is that this was all built into WordPress core, and we kind of have long forgotten these settings. Back when you would make the menu in the normal WordPress admin settings, not inside of site editor, that's still inside of this. But we didn't have a clean way for links anywhere on our site to also have the fields for XFN. And so that's now back and restored as well. The one people have gotten familiar with because of Fediverse is the rel equals me. So if you wanted to claim your Mastodon presence or some of those things on your site, you needed to have in a link somewhere to yourself about yourself that this is me with the rel equals me. And in XFN, there are other options besides just, hey, this is me. This is my sibling. This is my friend. This is an acquaintance, whatever. So I tried to bring a block editor approach to doing those. And I don't have a grand master plan quite yet, but I could see how these things will become important to the metaverse. So that's why I started here with two obscure parts of WordPress history that are fun little projects for me to just kind of kick out there.
I'm going to link to these in the show notes, but congratulations for getting them over the line. That's amazing. The first one, you can just go Google it. It's called Link Extension for XFN, and it's on WordPress.org.
And Matt helped make that protocol, the XFN protocol.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I don't know if he was working on it after WordPress launched or before, but Matt's part of the crew that created that protocol.
Okay. Yeah, I did not know that. And then the other one, which we mentioned a moment ago, is Post Formats for Block Themes. Again, both of them by Courtney. Both of them are available on WordPress.org. They will be in the show notes. If you subscribe to this, you'll get an email newsletter. They'll come under the plugins, code, theme sort of section. So hunt for them there in the morning when the eval. Good grief. I don't know what that noise was. Did anybody else hear that? Was that a really
bad noise? I heard it.
I think it, I don't know if it's Jetty or if it might be Courtney. I'm not sure. But somebody's making a little bit of a noise. I don't know. Whatever that was. Gosh, that's loud. Okay, let's hope that maybe, could I just ask that if you're not speaking, that you mute from now on, just so that we can eliminate sort of whoever that might be. That would be really helpful. Thank you. But don't forget to unmute when you come back on. Okay, let's move on. Okay. Wow, is all I can say. So 6.9 just dropped. Obviously, as we always do, it's this inexorable train. It never arrives at the destination. It's always a journey. WordPress 7.0 is in the planning. This is an enormous blog post. And honestly, there's no way that we're going to be able to cover off even a quarter of it. So I've just highlighted some of the bits. This is what I was saying earlier, Jesse. If I reshape the browser in any way, all of those highlights just end up in completely the wrong place, which is hysterical. So here we go. A little chat was had between core contributors along with Matt and Mary. They had a discussion, and here is a summation of some of the different pieces here. This is very much an ideation thing, and the intention is that you come in here and you collaborate and comment on all of this, and this is not like what's happening. It's like, here's the beginning volley of a discussion. So we all know that notes dropped into 6.9, or at least maybe you did. You can now comment on a block level in notes, but collaboration phase 3 is going to be given a bit more impetus, so real-time collaboration. And so the idea being, what does that look like? What will those features be? What's important for the baseline experience for shipping that? Do we need things like, to be able to comment on a certain aspect of a particular paragraph, like you do in Google Docs, like highlight a bit and comment just on that, or a particular image, or a particular portion of an image, or something like that. So defining the UI, figuring out what the diff mechanism is, to reconcile changes, all of that. So there's a lot of foundational work's gone in, but that's important. That's what needs to be done. Notes, like I said, we've just got it. The idea of partial notes has been mooted. So you'll have the ability to, just have a bit of a note for just one part of a paragraph, say, or maybe you could span two paragraphs. So instead of just being bound to one block, you might want to go over several blocks, multi-block support. I don't know why you would want this, but it's an interesting idea. Rich text formatting for commenting. I don't even think Google Docs has got that, to be honest. I think it's just plain text. And then on the admin side, improving screens across the WP admin. I think at the minute you could fairly say that the WP admin is in a state of flux. It's kind of, in some places it looks like this, and in other places it looks like that. So trying to figure out what all that looks like. Data views, a design system. Yes, please. Can I just say that one? Font library admin section. And then in terms of APIs, lots of work will need to be done on the abilities and workflows API. We'll come to that in a minute. Creating blocks and patterns on the server side, which is kind of interesting. We've had to do that for the Podcaster Plus blocks thing because the client side didn't work for us. And then what they're now calling short blocks, which is block bits. So the ability to, in one block, drop in multiple bits of content. So it might be first name, last name as two separate entities, that kind of thing. And what that would look like, what would the syntax for that look like? I know GeneratePress use like two curly braces on either side to sort of define that, but how would all get done? And navigation block, yes, please. Can we have more of that? Just loads more. You can see that I've highlighted absolutely loads more. Tons. So I've just whittered on for ages. Does anybody else want to comment on that? Is there anything of excitement in there for you people? The answer's no. So we will move on. Oh, Courtney, you forgot to unmute if you
were. No, I was going to call out that Jesse was the one.
Jesse then. Yeah, go for it, Jesse.
I'm not sure if you're going to bring it up separately, but if you scroll down just a little bit, you'll see the responsive block editing, which
there
is
was,
super
there
exciting.
Oh, yes, I am going to mention it separately, actually. But Okay.
We can talk about it separately.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute because there was a whole other article. So, in fact, let's click into that now. If I can just find the right one, not that one. Is it this one? Yeah, okay. This is what you meant, Jesse, I think.
Yeah, this is it. This is super exciting. I was talking to Matthias about this because I had a plugin years ago called WP Mobile Detect, which used a PHP class to detect your device and allow you to wrap content in a short code. So you could have something that might be visible on desktop, but not on mobile, because, you know, sometimes you make the assumption that mobile has lower bandwidth or less functionality or can't fit in the window or whatever it might be. But this is an exploration into how blocks will become visible or hidden based on the device. So you can see in that screenshot there, you could put something in and then hide it on desktop. So then based on media queries, it would either hide or show the content, which is super exciting because if you get past this, then you get into the ability to format blocks, margins, padding, things like that around mobile devices as well, which will make responsive site design so much easier.
Yeah, in fact, I kind of assumed that was where this article would basically end, but it goes on to explain all of the different bits and pieces. So, for example, if you're in a view, so let's say you're in the block editor and you're viewing it as a mobile device, but it's hidden on mobile, you'll get some sort of indication that there's a thing here, but you can't see it. So it's not like, because that some of the solutions at the moment make that really difficult. You hide something and it just sort of goes out the UI completely, and you have to know that you put it in there. And obviously, if you're inheriting a site, you kind of don't really know it's there unless you go through the tree and, you know, just look for it. So that's kind of interesting. And then you get this responsive toggle, which will tell you if things, let me just read it because it's easier to explain that way. The preview dropdown in the editor header includes a responsive editing toggle. You can see that on the screen. Hopefully I've explained that well enough. When enabled, the toggle activates responsive editing mode across the editor, including a purple highlight, which you can see here. That's kind of stands out nicely, I think. This mode changes how visibility controls behave. The settings menu displays. Oh, and then we get into the sort of technicalities of how it works. But anyway, you can see there how they're planning on implementing that. And then you get this modal where you can sort of like say hide everything. But then if you uncheck the hide everything option, you can see again on the screen, you've got the three options. So you can do it in one UI. You don't have to kind of go into the mobile view, then uncheck it, and then go into the tablet view, then uncheck it. You can do it all from this one place. So what a great idea. It will just make kind of curious that it took somebody like Jesse to build a plugin for that. I kind of really do wish, looking back, that this had all been back in the 2018 version of Gutenberg, but there we are. It's what we got. So
the plugin I built was way before even responsive web design was a thing. I wrote that plugin like 2010 or 2008 or something like that.
Do you still maintain that plugin, or is it? I mean, presumably it's got utility still.
Yeah, I mean, it still technically works. The PHP class still works as well. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that it's really better for you to use responsive design techniques, to properly hide. If you're going to go through the effort of creating short codes and wrapping content and stuff like that, I'd rather see us use this than my old plugin, which hasn't been updated in many, many, many years.
A couple of comments related to Elementor about some of the things we've just talked about. So Philip2981, hello, wonders if the collaborative editing will work with other page builders like Elementor. I'm guessing the answer to that will be no, but I don't know. Maybe there's some way that those two things could be bound together. I don't know. And then another thing, Elementor has this today. So we're talking about this responsive editing options. And yeah, I think all the page builders have had this more or less since day one, haven't they? So it's that's the kind of curious missing piece that Gutenberg has yet to overcome. I will link to this, but it's a WordPress. So it's at github.com/WordPress/Gutenberg and then pull and the pull request number 73888. Listen to me reading pull requests into the record. Oh gosh. Okay, there we go. Just click on the link in the show notes. It'll be a lot easier. And did we miss something out along the way? Yes, we did. We missed this one. Oh, sorry. But firstly, did Courtney or Michelle have anything they wanted to add about this 7.0?
I have been encouraging some of my coworkers related to some of the collaborative pieces of this, especially to look at what this does for performance in hosting environments, whether that be shared, managed, or enterprise grade, or, you know, if you're on BPS, you run your own show. But I just have thoughts that we should be very intentionally testing along the way, especially if you're in a economically priced shared hosting environment.
Right, right.
To see what the performance loads will do, I think we need to test early and test often throughout that process, because that is a big pivot. A lot of these features, I'm like, yay, we're finally getting there. I would still like the polyglots community to be really happy with multilingual, but, you know, here we are. And so these are exciting things.
I test. I'm with you. I've kind of got this feeling that it might be like some sort of point in a pricing table on a hosting company's website, like, you know, full support for collaborative editing, you know, 100% guaranteed that that'll all work on this tier. But if you go for the, I don't know, super affordable plan, maybe that tick isn't there and you run it at your own risk. It may work. It very well may not. I can't see how you pull this off without a significant amount of server resources. One of the things that was mentioned is what if it was just so in the piece that Matthias wrote is what if it was just constrained at the outset to two editors? Just two people can do that collaborative editing. And then presumably you get some sort of lockout when the third person shows up and needs to be asked to go in. It's kind of curious, isn't it? Michelle's become a circle. I don't know if anybody else has got that. Hopefully you're all right, Michelle. Okay. Anything else, Courtney? Anything, Michelle? If not, I will move on.
I have no idea if I have a circle.
No, it's the show before Christmas. So, you know,
the cat stepped on something. I'll
Santa is offering up all sorts of fun with the app.
While Michelle's figuring her thing out, I will note two Christmas things that I'm doing. My ugly Christmas sweater says tech support. I'm here to deliver cookies.
That is good.
For those that can't see it. And also in my earrings, I have cats in Christmas trees. And maybe that's what Michelle has going on. I don't know if Michelle has any cats that stepped on buttons, but it's that time of year where they step on random.
Oh, is it a cat? That's so good. If the cat,
stepped on something and I cannot get it back.
Oh, yeah. I love it. You definitely blame the cat on all technical gremlins. That's brilliant. But very frequently we see Michelle's cat wandering about. And some days it just goes over the keyboard and hits the keystroke. There is underneath the screen, Michelle, there's the video icon. And next to it is a little arrow, and you can often fiddle in there and see if it's gone to the wrong camera or something like that. Okay, in which case we will move on. Let me put that back on the screen so that we can see where we get to. So we did that. Okay, just a bit of fun, really. Black Friday, we mentioned there's a Black Friday deals page still live. David McCann from WebTNG, he polled his very large Facebook group about what it is that they went out and bought in the WordPress space during the last few weeks. And let's just go through them, kind of interesting. So number 10, and these were not what I expected. It just, in a way, it shows that I'm a little bit out of touch with the product marketplace. So here we go. Number 10, Core Framework. That was the 10th most popular. Advanced Themer for Bricks was number 9, the ever popular Bricks. Bitflows, which is like an automation tool. So think Zapier or something like that. Number 7, MailerPress. I think that was popular because they had a real giveaway lifetime deal for like $99. So that was probably why that happened. Green Shift and Green Light came in at number 6. Sigmatize, Number five, xCloud hosting. Number four. Number three, independent analytics. Number two, WP Vivid Pro. And number one, the most popular plugin was the Bought Nothing plugin, which I confess I've never tried. apparently it's really good. But no, apparently most people didn't actually buy anything. I kind of fell into that camp this year, actually, because I decided I wanted that money for, I know, Christmas presents and stuff like that. So I didn't get carried away this year. But did you? Any three of you get like totally carried away with all that?
You have a lot more money to spend on Christmas sweaters.
Yeah, that's right.
See? Yeah.
Mm. But yeah, I didn't. I kept my wallet firmly shut this year around. I think I've kind of reached plug-in nirvana for me. Mostly what I want, I've already got, and very happy with it. And I'm not in that kind of curious mode. I haven't really been this year in that curious, try new things out mode. So yeah, okay. Alrighty, there we go. Thank you for that, David, doing that research. This is the 2026 Global Partner Program announcement. So I'm guessing this really only is of interest to people who are working in the marketing departments of large companies, because the Global Partner Program for WordPress is not cheap. It wasn't Michelle, it was Courtney, was saying that these price points got added in at some later date, but you can see that the cheapest option is $60,000. It goes to 110, and then the global leader, the one, you know, if you attend a WordCamp or something, that's the one that's got the big logos, that's $180,000. What did you have to say about this, Courtney? What was the change? Can you remember?
I remember reading in the Post Status Community channel, there was a thread about the companies that are sponsoring and the KPIs that they need from it. And oh, by the way, global sponsorship is not part of flagship camps. It is primarily the city level and the meetups. And
is that new? Did it used to be? Oh, okay.
No, right. They've had it that way for a bit, but there was some chatter in Post Status regarding some of this, as well as how the page was updated this week, and they brought back different sponsorship tiers. So I think when they launched, it was one flat sponsorship, and then it's been revised to include the multiple tiers that you see now.
Okay.
I will say that, you know, it's a big savings in being able to have a tier if city levels are a lot of paperwork for some individuals to process. Think about people like Adam Warner is in the comments. He handles them here at GoDaddy. Miriam was sharing, you know, she's the one that gets to do paperwork. We call it paperwork these days, all being electronic, but still there's for every event. If you're individually sponsoring for every event, that means that there is an entire process of going through your organization to secure the funds, get the contract signed, blah, blah, blah on the internal side. And that stuff takes time. And not just from one individual's schedule, but that stuff takes time from all of these departments. And getting it through once could be advantageous. However, folks are kind of indicating that they prefer to have that connection or relationship with the individuals at the city level. And so they'll take on handling it manually as well. There's a lot of different ideas around this. Brett at a Dreamhost had shared how initially he helped pioneer getting this thing through because it just made the paperwork part so much easier.
Can I just say, I just scrolled down to the bottom of this WordPress.org page. Can I just say, if anybody wants to substitute this, if anybody's at .org and wants to substitute this podcast for an actual podcast, which is still going, there's a couple that I could recommend. Just saying.
It's been a little while since that one was up.
It's one of those things that you discover online, isn't it? That's, you know, somebody kind of forgot.
There should be a MetaTrack ticket to swap that one out.
Okay.
All right. After the show.
Just thank you. Hello and good morning. Says James. Nice to have
James,
you.
It's been a bit. Hello, James.
Yeah. And then Tammy Liss is replying, I think that the answer depends. This is talking about, so probably in response to that, Elementor, will the Elementor thing work with notes and blocks and all of that kind of stuff? Probably not, or depends. Okay, there we go. Anybody got anything on that one, the global sponsor thing?
Well, I might have mentioned this before. One of the things that I think is misleading about global sponsorships is that every local camp gets to set what gold sponsorship looks like and what silver sponsorship or whatever they're calling those different levels. So for example, at WordCamp Rochester, you know, gold might be $1,000. At WordCamp Miami, gold might be $5,000. And we get some amount of money from the global sponsorships, and then you have to raise some on your own. I think it's misleading when somebody looks at a sponsorship page like WordCamp Rochester, and they see that we've got five global sponsors, four of them are gold and one of them is silver, and they think that means we have $4,500 coming in from the global sponsorships, when in reality, I might only have $1,500 coming in. It makes it look like we are overfunding a camp. So local sponsors don't understand why we need so much money if they know that I'm hosting it at a high school and I'm having sub sandwiches for lunch. And it doesn't look like it should take that I'm asking for $5,000 more to raise. Why do we need $10,000 for a local in Rochester when it only cost me $4,000 to run that camp? Because it's misleading. I think what we should have is we should have list global sponsors and then not necessarily put a dollar amount with those. And just list that they are global sponsors, as opposed to saying, you have to say that these ones are gold sponsorship. Because gold sponsorship does not mean the same in every camp. And I will die on that hill.
That's
because
interesting.
It's very difficult to get local funding. And even if it's not local, but to get more funding for a WordCamp, especially when somebody sees that it looks like you're already funded to, you know, extreme amounts.
Yeah. Is there a language tweak which would fix that? Like if they just use different language, is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it should say, you know, global sponsors are these global sponsors, and I should be able to say which at this camp represents $1,500.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see in the year 2026. I have this impression that like that whole sponsorship thing is becoming a bit tighter because, you know, the economic forecasts are not quite as rosy as they were, I don't know, 18 months ago or something like that. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see how all that tightens up.
I think too that it comes back to, and Taco's a good one to chat with about this. On the side where sponsoring these events is not seen as a contribution, therefore it is marketing budget. And if it is marketing budget, then organizations are going to be looking for pretty important outcomes from that sponsorship. Mm. And there's a lot of conversation that could be had in parsing through what I just said, but I'll leave it pretty high level.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, I feel there's more to explore there, but not now. Now is not the time. Jesse, anything on that before we move on?
No, I mean, I agree, Michelle. I think you're right. I think I think anytime somebody sponsors any kind of an event, the return on investment is going to be important, Courtney. So these are all valid points.
Yep. So kind of segueing a little bit, but kind of related is, whoa, that came and went. This piece, community rep nominations for 2026. So it says it's November, but it is definitely December. We're looking for new community team representatives for next year. Really, I'm just, because of time, I'm not going to delve into this too much, but there's information here. If that is your bag, or maybe you're just exploring this and you think, I would like to step up and try that kind of thing out, there's a whole post here about what the responsibilities are and yada, yada, yada. And I suppose most importantly, the dates. So the nominations opened a few days ago and you've got until the 9th of January, extremely important role. And then voting will begin on that from the 12th to the 30th, and then the results will be known at some point in February. So the community team, like I said, you can read all about what they do and tremendously important. Okay, so I will link to that into the show notes as well. I didn't know that this thing was still going. This is Classic Press. Classic Press began as a kind of, I'm going to use the word rebellion. That's entirely the wrong word, but you know,
alternative.
Thank you. That's much, much less incendiary and probably closer to what the people at Classic Press actually think. So when Gutenberg launched, there was a bunch of people who really didn't want anything to do with it and were quite happy to have a version of WordPress that would never come close to the block editor at all. And you could do that with plugins and things like that, but a more long-term solution for some folk was to fork the project and begin Classic Press. And it had a lot of groundswell of support, and then everything went really quiet. And so my assumption was that maybe that whole project had gone away, but I'm wrong. It hasn't. It's actually still going. Don't know how thriving it is, but I just thought I'd mention it, given its kind of, you know, WordPress roots. 2.6 is their current version, and there's a few technical things here about support for PHP 8.5 and a strategy parameter for WPNQ script, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, the point is, it's still going. If you don't like the block editor and don't want anything to do with it, here it is. I'm guessing the more days that go between WordPress with the block editor and Classic Press, the day that they forked, I'm guessing the two are kind of becoming farther and farther apart, and whether or not things are going to break in significant ways, I don't really know.
But I would lean in on John Overall, if he's still in the comments, for some of that. To date, he is the biggest proponent of Classic Press that I have known. I will confess, John, it's been a while since I've heard you share about Classic Press, but I remember many an episode about it.
So, yeah, anyway, there you go. I'm sure that they'd welcome contributors and things like that, but classicpress.net is the URL, and this is all about version 2.6. Right, okay, let's go to here. I always mention these, and I always have this sort of intention that we get into the bits and the pieces, but really, we can't. So it's Justin Tadlock, who does tremendous work over at Automattic. But in terms of this, it's the WordPress developer blog, and it's the What's New for Developers. It comes out every month, and it's a really long piece with a table of contents about all the different bits and pieces that have launched for developers. It's like the laundry list. It's got everything in. I'm not going to go through all the bits and pieces just because of the constraints of time. But yeah, he's done his work linking to every single thing that a developer might be interested in. I mean, maybe he's missed a few things here and there, but... the top level items, really, I suppose, though, he groups things into plugins, themes, playground, resources, and yeah, concentrates on 6.9 a lot. So I know this is probably Courtney's wheelhouse a little bit more, but props to Justin for doing this. Thank you. Anybody want to comment on that? Probably not too lengthy if you do. Okay, in which case we shall move along swiftly. Okay, so this is really curious, and I think this is hot enough to be something which could be brilliant, but also potentially maybe a bit divisive. Let's see how the year 2026 pans out here. So we're reading from Ray's repository. If you haven't signed up, it's the best place, I think, to get WordPress news. Really credible, really well-researched, brilliantly done. Congratulations for Ray for, you know, everything that she does over there. This one is entitled WordPress AI Team Outlines Vision for AI as a Fundamental Part of WordPress. And again, not going to have time to read it all, but I'll just read a few salient bits. In a new post on the Make WordPress Core blog, Jason Adams, an Automattic AI contributor, argues, here we go, ready? That AI should be treated as a core part of how WordPress operates, similar to databases. I'll let that sink in. Not as a feature. So, okay, take away the database. You really don't have a WordPress. I think what he's trying to say is that in the future, AI is going to become so pivotal that it needs to be baked into core so that without it, core would feel entirely different. So I'll quote what he says. What if, from an end user to the plugin developer, they could take for granted that there's an AI model accessible to me by virtue of being in WordPress? What kind of things would people use it for? What amazing things would people create that are built on the reliable presence of a capable LLM? To get there, Adam says developers need to embrace the Abilities API, WP AI client, and the upcoming Workflows API, which is expected to land in 7. He also argues that hosts, here's an intriguing moment as well, he also argues that hosts should provide access to AI models as part of their plans. There's a real change of landscape going on here if this comes to pass. A significant shift in how hosting currently works. There's more down in the article, including pushback from other people in the community who say, you know, not on my WordPress, keep AI out, opt-in only kind of thing. And I'll just read one of those. Core committer JB Audras. I don't know if I've got the name right there. I'm sorry. I've read your name so many times, but don't know how to say it. Questioned whether AI should be integrated into WordPress at all. I quote, I think this AI thingy is going to be a massive disaster for our ecosystem and our economy. Plus, this is more and more looking like a dot-com bubble, which is going to explode due to the same old factors as the previous bubble. He also raised concerns about sustainability, you know, the environment, I guess, of AI in a world of limited resources. There's more. So we got this polemic going on here. AI in core, like utterly crucial to WordPress's future. And then obviously, no, make it a toggle. Where do we land on this? I mean, what do you think? I have no intuitions as to what anybody's going to say. I don't want to put words into anybody's mouths. So I'll just let you, whoever wants to interrupt first, go for it. I'm curious as to what you think.
Yeah, there is a post also on the make.wordpress.org/AI team site asking hosts for feedback about being the provider of the AI, because the point of friction is if you have to go get your own ChatGPT account or Claude or this or that for the average person using their websites. I could see some validity to that, but that's a big ask on the ecosystem to incorporate. What do we do if people try to bypass, you know, if they are gaming their AI and trying to get around the safeguards? Well, then who's responsible? And that not being necessarily part of the business model that hosts were considering, we'll say. So encouraging feedback on that post, and I'll get the link for Nathan to put into the show notes as well.
Yeah, yes, please.
I think that there's a lot of, it's important that we remember this is all still wildly new. And I think there's a lot to gain from having civil discourse. That means that we are discussing the ideas and not the humans. I think that it matters that we talk through a lot of these ideas and say, have we considered this? Have we considered that? And not have a gut check response to just oppose things, but also not a flippant idea that we're just going to shove it all in either, right? We have to meet somewhere in the middle and have those conversations. And I think that we need to stay really attuned to actual WordPress users that aren't in the bubble of contributing or listening to all the WordPress news or reading WordPress news, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Users of this,
yeah.
What's going to help them the best? And I think that that's where we need to really focus on that experience.
So it's curious, isn't it? That as an example, a really kind of core component of any website these days would be, I don't know, let's pluck something out of thin air, a form, right? Everybody usually needs some kind of form. Not everybody, but it's fairly significant. Yet we don't have that in core because it's, you know, it's a feature that you can find elsewhere. And Tammy's saying, why? So in the comment, so Tammy Lister, why is it a change of landscape from what is happening outside of WordPress already? I suppose that would be the thing, wouldn't it? People would sort of say, well, why is this all a given? Why is it like de rigueur that everybody's going to need AI when, in fact, it would appear, certainly from where I'm sitting, it would appear there is a growing vocal minority of people who are really concerned about it. And I don't know whether that groundswell of vocal minority is going to get louder, but obviously you don't really want to get into a debate about that. If it's a core feature of WordPress and you kind of can't opt out of it, I just don't know, essentially.
I don't think it's going to operate that way. I've had a few conversations about this now, and the thing that looks like the path that WordPress core is going to take is number one, building the scaffolding,
right,
and the tools needed for AI to operate as a layer on top of it. You mentioned forms. One thing that's really interesting is that, and Courtney, what you mentioned about end users and the fact that they're not community, not always in the community, not always read into everything. So important to point that out to people, because I think that we tend to forget that. But, you know, email is an interesting thing because it's been something that every single website needs email from one layer or another, right? But email's expensive. And so WordPress, the community-driven software, is not going to pay for email for millions and millions of users across the internet. The same thing goes with AI. I don't believe that what we'll see is that there is an AI engine paid for and built by the WordPress community directly integrated into Core. Yeah. I think what we'll see is that the Abilities API is going to have a lot of work put into it so that we can use that for what functionality you have throughout your site. And then we'll use that ability to layer in API. And I think that, you know, one thing that's really interesting is to think about different agents performing different tasks. So your SEO plugin could pull in an AI agent that is specifically built around, you know, doing SEO stuff. Or you could have Elementor could bring in its Angie to help you with site building, or, you know, Jetpack could do it for, you know, helping you write content, whatever it might be. But I don't think that we're going to see any kind of AI fully baked into WordPress, the software that is going to be a requirement for you to use.
Yeah, that came across very strongly, didn't it, in the State of the Word address. All of the AI people who came up, and Tammy, who's in our comments, she was right there in the front of the audience. It definitely came across as that layer, didn't it? Like, we're providing all of the things that WordPress does, and then you go out and find the other AI, right. You know, the ChatGPT or Gemini or whatever, and bind it inside of WordPress. And apparently I've got it completely wrong. Tammy says I've got the exact opposite of what she went. I am sorry, Tammy. Sometimes I just just not clever enough, basically, to keep up with all this sort of stuff. Philip says that whilst he agrees, whilst I agree that AI was very beneficial, however, you need to know how to use it, prompt it. Additionally, I found that the more, I'm going to have to read it off the thing here, the more complex with the AI, the more it struggles. Yep. Okay. Zach says everything's a toggle when you have the code. And then Tammy, I think in response to that, says this isn't about toggles. This is about tools. And Tammy back again, she says, I've heard some great conversations within the Core AI team and others, Core Sustainable AI, lowest model first thinking. The presumption of admiring large models is also wrong. The human user is at the heart of this. Do you know what, Tammy? I think that is the central part of my concern, is that there's bits of this which feel very dehumanizing. It feels like a lot of the AI stuff is sort of like said at us. And that I think is the part that concerns me. And I'm sure I know that you have many aspects of your life which are very artistic and creative and all of that. I'm sure maybe you understand a bit of that, even if you don't necessarily agree with it. My thing won't work now. I can't put, oh yes, it will. This isn't about being clever. This is Tammy again. It's about us all being human with each other. Okay. Interesting. Michelle?
One of the things, and I think I mentioned this in a previous AI conversation about WordPress, is that we want to continue to bring in the next generation of WordPress users, and they are all in on AI in a lot of the ways. So if you look at Wix, if you look at Squarespace, some of our competitors, they are already implementing AI much more than we are. And if we want to stay competitive with the next generation of users and not have, you know, WordPress die with those of us who've been using it for 15 years or more.
Yeah.
We need to continue to implement, and we need to continue to grow, and we need to continue to, you know, include the technologies that the next generation of users are already using.
It's a good point and well made. And So the article in question, which prompted all of that, AI always gets the conversation going, doesn't it? It seems to be the fulcrum of everything at the moment, doesn't it? Repository. WordPress AI team outlines vision for AI as a fundamental part of WordPress. Go check it out. And I think it's fair to say Tammy is probably available to have conversations around this if you wish to reach out. And
also,
it's
important to remember that AI isn't about taking over. AI isn't supposed to take over your website.
Yeah,
It's a tool, and Tammy said that earlier. It's a tool that we use, and that's what Zach is also saying.
Zach's saying here, MCP is about empowering people to use these models to accomplish tasks within environments they control. And then James just sums it up beautifully in three words. I'm for robots.
I like the robots that clean my floor. I like the robots. You know, I mean, there's definitely a use case for robots.
Yeah, I think it's so Jesse, you know, Jesse, who's on the show, says I'm for robots too, assuming that they are listening.
They're listening. Good answer.
And I don't know what's going on. The UI is freaking out for me, and local models that don't feed an AI beast are awesome. Do you know what? That whole local model thing, like, for me is almost the panacea, actually, because I feel like there's a there. There's something about having it on my machine. There's something about my psychology, which when something grows extremely large, like Google, there's some part of me that begins to rebel against it. Or kind of distrust it, or I don't know what that is, but I've had that since I was a kid. You know, the bigger it gets, the more I'm thinking I'm not really aligned with that anymore. And the idea of local models maybe really is the panacea for that. If I know it's on my machine, and I've interacted with that, and kind of, I'm making air quotes, educated it in the way I would like it to behave, maybe that's it. Maybe there's something there. And also, maybe I should just grow up.
Well, I think it also depends on whether or not it communicates from your computer.
Yeah, right. Right.
If it's not walled off, then it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, okay. Good point. Thank you. Yeah.
You're also talking to Americans right now that are on the show, and the likes of the owner of Grok having access to our social security information and everything. It sort of changes the perspective when you're like, well, my data's already out there.
Yeah.
And the government's using it this way.
You know what? I think it's this landscape of all possible futures. There are a few scenarios which are not good. I'm sure that there are many in which it's entirely beneficial, but I think there are some scenarios in which things don't work out particularly well, and they're not beyond the realms of possibility. And I think, Courtney, you've just described one which is not necessarily that desirable. And yet we, let's put that genie back in the bottle, shall we? Tammy's saying that she's available. No, she's not. She's saying, I can't get robots to clean my floor. I clicked on the wrong link. She's saying she's available if people want to talk about this. I think Tammy is kind of right at the vanguard of all of this. So if you've got commentary, Tammy's available to hear it. Now back to this one. I can't get robots to clean my floor. They don't work well in cottages. That's a good point. Roomba's filing for bankruptcy. Okay, there you go. Hoover, back in while you can.
Everybody else has copied them, and much cheaper, probably.
Okay, there's a few more comments, but I think we can probably just quickly move on. Okay, we've got very, very little time left. So just a couple of hat tips, really. Here's the first one. Dave Gray, who's often on the show. What a nice little plugin this is. Great. Mm-hmm. $19 at the moment for life for an infinite number of sites. That offer, I don't know when that offer runs out. Don't know. But the idea of this is it will remind you when plugin renewals are coming up. So let's say, for example, you happen to buy a plugin from dodgycompany.com, and they cost you $1,000 a year, and they never send you an email reminder. And the minute that you renew your license inadvertently, that's it, you're done. Well, he's built a plugin which will just remind you. You set a date, and it will say, look, here comes the plugin update. You know, it's going to happen. And you set all of that stuff up, and hopefully that nonsense never comes to your way again. So it's called Remind Me, friendlywebguy.co.uk/remind-me. I think that's a cracking idea. I have so many subscriptions that renew, and I'm just so laissez-faire about it. I just sort of see it and go, oh, I'll do that next year. When what I should do is do it right now for next year, and then it happens again and again and again. Anyway, there we go. Thank you, Dave Gray, for building that. We had things about Playground. Just go read this WordPress Playground 2025 review.
Just go read it.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. We haven't got time for that one because it's a long one. Ollie, Mike McAllister's Ollie, feels like it's doing really well in the block editor space. I feel like he's on the precipice. That's the wrong word. Anyway, it feels like he's winning the game here in the block editor space. He's got Ollie Free and Ollie Pro, paid. And in the Ollie Pro, he's just launched what he's calling a class manager, which, you know, as you'd imagine, is the capacity for you to wrangle your CSS inside of the inside of WordPress. And it's really nice. It kind of reminds me of like something like Tailwind, where you assign a bunch of classes and you can toggle them on. So red, button, round, and then you can stack those three things with a checkbox and you'll get a round, cornered, red button, that kind of thing. And it's just really, really nicely done. So firstly, congratulations to the Ollie team, but also definitely go check it out.
When it was still in beta, I put it on my site and was working on embedding a short code for a newsletter form. You know, styling on those can be the bane of every WordPress person's existence. They do not style nicely. And so I was testing it out and Mike jumped in. I enjoyed what I was experiencing, but I was still slightly stuck, just a smidge. I gave Mike a video recording of my issues and, you know, Mike corrected a couple things before the final release was shipped. Made it nice and speedy. And I so appreciate this because hunting around for where did I make that one custom CSS thing can be really hard. And with this, you get one view that shows you all of the places where you did that thing.
So you've got what he's called block styles, global styles, and compiled CSS. And you can see that you're dealing with one class at a time. So it, for example, on the screen here with dot card, and this is the CSS for card, but it's got the base, the hover, the focus, the active, the disabled. I mean, you've seen this everywhere before. It's nothing like transformational and new. It's CSS, but it's just a nice implementation inside of the block editor, and it may just remove that confusion about where is it. And I just like the capacity to stack things with, you know, toggles and add different classes and things like that.
So, and I appreciate that so much of Ollie leverages native core in its approach to things.
For
the end users, I feel like it just gives more continuity to the experience they're having, rather than a very disjointed, like, now I'm in WordPress, well, now I'm in this form builder, and now I'm in that page builder. And
I have a feeling that the Ollie team are going to have a very good 2026. I hope so, anyway. And Zach, hello, Zach, again. Ollie is a phenomenally well-built foundation to build from. Too right. And the block editor is not always easy. Full-site editing is not always easy, and he's made it as easy as possible, so that's great. Okay, very quick race to the end. Call for speakers, WordCamp Europe is now open. You can send in your application. I think you've got until, let's scroll right to the bottom. You have until January 31st, if you wish to be a speaker. It's taking place in Poland later this year, so that's opened. And just a quick hat tip. I saw this. This is just a nice reminder that even though there's a lot of stuff going on in the WordPress space, the sky is not always falling in. WordCamp Malaysia 2025. This is a write-up of that. But the takeaway item that I wanted to mention was the organizer said it was the biggest attended event that they have had. And it felt like 2025, parts of 2024, felt like the direction of travel had gone the other way. But you know, certainly in other parts of the world from where I live, it's definitely a popular thing. So that's quite nice. We touched that. So I'll just quickly mention this. If you like CSS, as Mike McAllister obviously does, this is Google's, well, it's at chrome.dev. It's their CSS wrapped, and it's showing some of the new things, well, new-ish things that CSS can do. And, you know, you just click buttons basically and then steal the CSS. But some of it is like, almost like the days of Flash, you know, some of the stuff that's come in inside the browser or is now available. I mean, look at this. Look at these lovely, like drop downs. Are they nice? Like, drop downs are so boring, and now browsers will handle all of this natively. There's loads to get into, including native sliders and stuff like that. So go check that out. And do we have time? Probably not. No. Oh, Matt had a fight with DHH. Let's just leave it at that, shall we? No more to say. And this chap, I feel very sorry for. He had his life upended this week when his license for Apple, all Apple things, and he's a Apple dev, went away. Go and read this harrowing story. I don't think it's resolved yet. This only happened 2 days ago, and it's basically ruined his life.
So many examples of that. I know we don't have time, but it's not just in the app development world, but it's in social media too. People build their businesses on top of closed walled garden networks like this, and then the algorithms or whatever can rip it all out from under them in a second.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep. Well, in this case, this guy really is all in on Apple. You know, he writes books about Apple software and how to write Apple software. He's got all of his photos, 2 terabytes of photos with no other backup mechanism, and his account has been shut down. Nobody will talk to him, and it's very frustrating. And by the sounds of it, he did nothing wrong. He bought a $499 gift card from a reputable store, like a big store. He said, if you're an American, think Walmart, like on that level. I think he's Australian, so equivalent to that. And it didn't work. And it feels like the angle that he's being told is there was something dodgy about the code you were using. So they suspect him of fraud, it would seem. And you are talking to a brick wall, which is a shame. You know, somebody, especially if you've written a bunch of books about developing for Apple products, and he reckons he's, you know, $30,000 in products he's bought over the years and so on and so forth. So come on.
It'll be interesting to read his next book.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It'll be very thin. It'll be a pamphlet endorsing Android. Yeah. Anyway, there we go. That's it. That's all we've got time for this week. Sorry, it was a bit of a rush at the end. I'm sorry we had technical gremlins. We're taking a break because of, you know, the holidays. So when this is finished, I'm going to go and don my Santa cap and become family man for a couple of weeks. So we'll be back in January, but hopefully you can cope. Until then, I'm sure that you can. But it only remains for me to say thank you to our panelists. So let's go round that. We're in a different order now, aren't we? We've all got disrupted. Let's go to Jesse. Thank you very much for joining us, Jesse. Appreciate it. Hope you'll come back. Michelle Frechette, I hope you will too. I'm pretty sure that you will. And Courtney as well, thank you for joining us and making the effort. You're the only one with the Christmas attire. I know.
Good well, and to spoil the cat earrings, you know, the one side's the cat face. Yeah. The other side, though, let me see if I can... How do I move to... No, this one.
I just saw a tree. It's like a little...
It's the kitty butt.
Oh.
I'm putting that in the tree. This is a gift from my children last year, and I have to wear it proudly.
I was going to say I have enormous earrings under this, but I don't. It's just different. Okay, we just need to do the hand wave thing, if that's all right, just before we end, get the picture. Oh, good! That's so good. Oh, love it.
I love
Thank
it.
You, Jesse. Jesse's got that's a sticker on his hand. It says love him.
That is the title. That has to be the title of the episode.
It's got
to
be just love him.
It's not a Valentine's show. It's the Wizard of Oz.
We don't care. We don't care. It's perfect.
Love is year-round.
Yeah, thank you so much. If you put any comments in the last few moments, I apologize. We don't have time for those. But thanks so much. I'll chat to you three in a moment once the last credit has come. But see you in the new year. Have a happy holiday. Take it easy. Bye-bye for now.